Okay, today we are talking about, at least in theory, the halacha in Siman Tzadi Beis, halacha in Rabban Zayin, which is about Kippas Chol. We're going to focus on steam systems. So let me first talk for a minute about steam systems. If you at least you know what I'm talking about. But just to set us up with the question, with the issue we have to deal with, and we'll see how it connects to this din, and at least marginally. Okay. People who, in big manufacturing companies, there's no little fires under the pot. It's not like in your house that you have a little fire there. But rather, it's considered efficient to, there's one boiler, it makes steam, and the steam goes all around the factory. Okay. There are some places where the steam actually cooks the food directly. That's not our question for today. That's not what we're going to deal with. Rather, what we think about is for when it's, for example, in a jacket, okay? Which is to say, if you have a kettle, and the kettle has a double wall to it. The food is sitting in the middle of the kettle, and steam comes in into that jacket. That's the space between the part that touches the food and the outside, and the steam comes into there, and that steam is what cooks the food. Okay, once the steam has done its job, it condenses, it turns back into water, and it comes out the bottom as condensate. Okay, now it's steam, it's condensed water. And that, to understand what just happened is really to understand why they're using steam in the first place. Why they're using, what's the advantage of using steam. The steam has, this is an important principle about steam, and that is that steam is not just water that's got to 212 degrees. To get water to 212 degrees, you have to heat it up. It's called sensible heat. You have to get it to just to that high. Every bit of energy you put into it makes it a little hotter. But when once it gets to 212 degrees, to get it from 212 degrees water to 212 degrees steam, take something called latent energy, latent heat, and that is you have to eat in be'erach another 1,000 degrees worth of heat to make it go from 212 degrees water to 212 degrees steam. That latent heat, that extra bit that you have, that extra huge amount that you have to add in,
1,000 degrees
of energy. Okay, well, BTUs of energy. I mean, to get the water from 210 to 211 took 1 degree of energy, and 211 to 212 took another one. To go from 212 water to 212 steam takes 970 more. Okay, and that extra is like latent, like it's bekayach, and it's very waiting to get out. It's very easy to give that energy back. Okay, it's not easy to get back from 210 to 209 degrees. It's hard to transfer that heat to somebody else. But to go from steam to water, it very easily transfers that extra energy. The extra latent energy transfers very easily. So when the steam hits this kettle over here, when we see the steam hitting the kettle, right away, the extra 1,000 degrees worth of energy goes into the food. And the water, it's say, 212 degrees. Maybe it's 211 degrees. A drop of its own heat does give up. But what it's really giving up is that 1,000 degrees that in a second it gives up very quickly.
How could that be measured?
How could what be measured?
This energy, this latent heat that's there, that's obviously, how is it measured?
Because if you boil up water, you can measure how much heat you're putting in, and you see, okay, if the 1 second it got to this many degrees, and 2 seconds, and 3 seconds, how many, and then all of a sudden it hits water and it stops getting hotter, it doesn't turn to steam. You wait, and you wait, and you wait, until you get all this extra energy until it becomes steam.
Once it's in steam already, how do you measure steam that, let's say, it has already 500 degrees and only has 500 to go?
So,
750.
So, there's a chart. No, there's no in-between.
Okay, wait, measure it.
Okay, maybe, but there's no in-betweens. Once it gives up any of that latent heat, it turns back into condensate. It basically gives it over very quickly, and then it plops and it condenses into water.
That's it. I just want to know, this should be able to, it's not so baruchnius that it can't be measured, right? It's not measured the temperature. The temperature is the same.
Right.
So how is it measured? How is
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But now, and part of the issue, and I'm mentioning this because it's going to get to us later, part of the issue is that this latent heat, which is so easy to give up, means that as the steam travels through the factory, it's also going to give up some of that energy into the piping and all kinds of things as it moves along. That's considered very dangerous for factories. It's not good to have water in the steam pipes. You don't want any condensation to be in the steam pipes. So they do all kinds of things. They have separators and drip pockets and filters, all kinds of things to make sure there's no water in the piping.
But any energy that gives up automatically condensates?
Well, it gives up, then that amount of the water will, of the vapor will turn back into water.
Because there's so much potential in there, so is it possible that some of it gives up?
So
hotter than...
Yeah, no, but so there'll be some drops of water.
Well,
some drops of water.
Have to be any.
because there's enough energy to turn 99% of the water into steam.
Right.
There's not enough to turn the last 1% into steam. So that 1% stays as water. If there'd be enough energy, they would all be steam. So no, it lost some of it. Some of it came into the piping and to things around it. So it lost it. So the companies put in, the people who built the steam system put in all kinds of efforts to make sure there's no liquid in the piping. Okay, when you if you stick something into the pipe, and of course it'll condense right into that cold thing you put into it. But if the pipe was glass, like when I learned about steam systems at a company, they had a factory that was made out of glass. Okay, the whole steam system, not all, almost the whole steam system was made out of glass. And when you look at it, it was nothing. It was empty inside because there was no liquid. Okay, because that's the point. It wasn't just for show, because that's an important thing. Because if there's water inside there, they explained to them.
There's really water molecules in there.
There was really
vapor molecules.
Right, there were vapor molecules, but nothing that you could see.
You couldn't see vapor molecules.
You can't see vapor. No, when you see steam coming out of your spaghetti, that's because it's condensing up in the air. Little bits of it are condensing. It looks like a cloud, but that's it's invisible. No. Okay? But over here, once it hits the kettle, then the packet does condense, it drains out. And then that's its own thing. We'll talk about a different time. Okay, that's a different one. Okay, I'm not going to say it. Okay, so what happens is, so now when you have the where this happens, so this is how you cook the food. Okay, this is like a typical setup for how you cook the food. The steam comes into the kettle, gives off all this energy quickly into the food. That's why I'll mention it's not relevant to us today. That's the reason why when you want to cook something that's more delicate, you don't cook it with steam. Like you want to pasteurize milk. You don't pasteurize milk with steam, because if you use steam is so strong, it's so hard to control, and you would overheat your milk. Okay, if you're trying to cook your milk, you'd overheat it and ruin the taste of it. So you want to cook ketchup, so steam is a great thing to cook with, because the steam cooks it up really quickly. It's really fast and it's really strong. It's great. It's good for cooking up ketchup. You want to cook milk, it's too dangerous, too strong, and it would burn your
milk.
Okay, good word. So instead you use water. You use the steam to heat up water, and then the water heats up, cooks your ketchup, cooks your milk. Okay, so now, so here we have, after you cook this food, the content that came out, I just explained to you, comes out at the erich 212 degrees, okay, or it's under pressure now, probably comes at more than 212 degrees. Okay, it's very hot water. So not only is it hot water, but the chemicals that are used in the boiler, all kinds of reasons why they use chemicals in the boiler, they already put those chemicals into this water. So it's a waste for that water to go to the drain. Why would you let that water drain out? You have hot water already. So we need hot water in a second to make more steam to cook the other things in the factory. So that condensate, commonly, is sent back to the boiler, and they reuse it again because we have this very hot water that it needs a lot of energy to turn back into steam. But it's better than starting with cold water. Why would we start with cold water? So instead, we start with the hot water, and they want to save that condensate. It's water that's clean. It's water that's chemical and chemicals to it, and it's water that's very hot. So the companies would like to. The standard thing is you want to return it, you take it back to the boiler. Okay. So over here, I'm going to show you. This is a simplified steam system. Okay. Simplified. You have a boiler. Okay. That's the red thing in the middle there. The boiler, and it's sending steam to heat a kosher kettle and a not kosher kettle. Okay. Food is being cooked in a kosher kettle and a non kosher kettle. Condensate from those two kettles is going back to a condensate return tank, a collection tank. Into that tank, they add in fresh water and boilers, boil chemicals, and then it goes back to the boiler. Okay, so that this is a simple system. We're here. This is the shiloh we're going to talk about, which is I'm going to break it down into three questions that we have to talk about. Okay, so this is our system. The same steam is heating up kosher and non-kosher in their jacketed kettles. And the condensate from both of them is coming, eventually making its way back to the boiler. Okay, so we have three questions. First question is: does condensate carry non-kosher bleeds? Can the condensate become treif at all? Question number two: do those bleeds? Okay, let's say the condensate is treif. Do those bleeds make the kosher food treif? Can it affect the kosher food? Okay, let's say the condensate is treif, but does that make a difference in the kosher food? And if the answer to both of those is yes, then our third question is, what do we do about that? What can we do to stop that from happening? In the same company making kosher and non-kosher, so assuming that the condensate just becomes treif, and assuming that the treif condensate can affect the kosher food, is there anything we can do about that to avoid that kind of a problem? Okay, those are our three questions we're going to talk about. Okay, so now, now we talk about our halacha, okay? Our halacha we're talking about is tipas chalav, which is, it's halacha in Simon Tzavi Beis, and people who are learning your day wonder when they'll ever be in a gay shayla. Frost is a gay all the time. Okay? If it didn't, that what happens if food spritzes milk, drips onto the outside of a pot, and then there is or is not shishim against what's in the pot, in what cases does the food become chafe or does not become chafe? Okay? And it's of course, and I guess it happens in the house, I guess it could happen, but it seems like a very far-fetched case. But there's all kinds of the machlokes and shenim about if bleed transits through, when bleed transits through, but in concept, there's such a thing as bleed transferring through. We're going to talk about today if that's true for a steam system. We're also going to mention in passing for hot water system, same type of a shayla, where hot water is heating the thing instead of a steam. One day in the future, Mirtz Hashem, I'll talk to you about cooling tunnels, and tunnel pasteurizer, which is also in the same shayla. Okay, today, we'll focus on steam systems. Okay, so, a question like this. I told you that the steam is invisible. If you look in the steam pipe, there's nothing in there. It's completely, if you looked at it and you weren't so smart to know that this is a steam pipe, it looks like an empty pipe. Again, as soon as you open it up, there would be condensation. But really, there's nothing inside there. So the question is there, the din of tipas cholav is all by things that are, you can see, that are physical. Okay, is there such a thing as blia going into the steam? Can, that's our first question. Can blia get in, can there be blias into the steam? Okay, so that's a question. I don't know the answer to that question. Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, but it's not relevant to us. Okay, and the reason why it's not that part, at least that part of the question is not relevant to us, is because I told you as soon as the steam hits the kettle, it condenses. So when the steam hit the treif kettle, when it came to the treif kettle, it turned into a liquid. So there isn't invisible steam on the other side of the kettle. In the yellow kettle over there that's cooking chazer, there isn't invisible steam in the jacket. No. There's condensation in the jacket. In the piping, there was invisible steam. But in the jacket of the kettle, there is liquid over there. So, of course, blia goes through. That's what people call it. The blia that's inside the pot transfers through the metal to the other side, to the liquid, the condensation of the pot. So we don't have to think about whether is there blia in the invisible steam. Not relevant to us, because there's liquid on the other side of the kettle. So it's partial that there's a blia going through. I should say, it's partial. It's the example of people's call of time going into there. Okay? Now,
yeah, but it's not
going to
affect the
kosher,
though.
So far we did just our first question, okay? The condensate becomes non-kosher. The condensate becomes non-kosher because the talon transfers into a liquid, not into steam, it changes into a liquid that's in the condensation, and it makes the condensation trace. So the condensate coming from the yellow, from our yellow kettle, from the treif kettle, back to the boiler, that condensate, that's our first question, is that treif? Yes, Tipas Chol tells us that is treif. Okay. Now, what about our second question? What about, could those blias get to the kettle? Now, for the blias to get from the boiler to the kosher kettle, now it has to go become invisible. Now, it in fact goes through being an invisible pipe. It goes through in the pipe where it turns into steam where there's nothing, again, it's an empty pipe. So now, does the blia transfer from the treif condensate went into the boiler and it was treif? But now, there's an empty pipe. What appears to be an empty pipe going from the boiler to the kettle. So now there's liquid again at the kettle, but in between there was nothing. There was emptiness in between there. So can the blia do those? Is there anything there? Okay. So the truth is that what I just described to you is a variation of a well-known Tshuva in the Rivash, Brutin Shulchan Aruch. We spoke about it by Alcoholic Beverages, who was asked about distillation, which Kinneret was a new thing in his time. What's distillation? Distillation is you make, the case he talked about, is you take wine, and you essentially boil the wine at a temperature where the alcohol boils out, and the water stays behind. The alcohol boils out, and now you catch that alcohol, and you turn it back into a liquid. So the alcohol when it boils out, now it's more concentrated, because you left a lot of the water behind. So instead of being 12% wine, all of a sudden you have 40% brandy. And the child, the answer to your question was, is that usher or not? They said, is it usher because it came from the wine, or is it mutter because it's invisible? Because when you go in the in-between, between the place where you boil it up, excuse me, when you turn it back into a liquid, it's, again, the same thing, an empty pipe. That's our child. There's a big empty pipe there. that has nothing inside of it. So we all know that the brandy comes from the wine, but the in between this emptiness, again, does that carry time to it? And the Rivash brought riots, that in fact that's also, and that in at least in our case, we've talked at other times about what other cases, but in our case, where there's a very clear connection, a clear link between the liquid at the beginning and the liquid at the end, then for sure in those cases we consider it to be trade. I mean, in our case, in the case of Rivash, the wine that you start with and the brandy that you end with are clearly connected to each other. As you boil up the wine, you see more and more brandy coming on the other side. If you taste this one, it tastes like that one. There's a clear connection between one and the other one. So the Rivash says in that case, the time that brandy is considered usher. It's tam yayin, and it's usher. In our case, the same thing. As the boiler goes on, the more the boiler works, you see the condensation forming and cooking up the ketchup and the kosher kettle. So in that case, we say that it carries the tam. Okay, so the answer to our second question is yes, it affects the trade condensation affects the food in the kosher kettle, because even though it went through so to speak an invisible pipe, there was nothing in the pipe there. Even so, it's obvious that the condensation happening by the kosher kettle is coming from the boiler. That there's a connection between them, and therefore it carries the talent.
So had there been visible zaya. He wouldn't have asked the shot.
No question at all. Right, because then it would be liquid. I say, hey, there's liquid over here. So of course it would carry tamtum. Why shouldn't it carry tamtum?
How did they know? They also had glass then, and they saw how did they know it was invisible?
How did they know? I don't know.
There's no paper you can see?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. It happens to be that people who make wine, taka use glass. I don't know in times of Rivash they did that. People who do this, that's like a way to... I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, but the Rivash brings right is that when it's done with heat and when there's a direct connection between one and the other, when you see the link, it's obvious to you that one leads to the other one, then even though it's invisible in the middle, and invisible things are an usher, even so, that's what. In other words, we don't say that the rain that came down yesterday was trade, because it was, you know, it evaporated, because no one sees any connection between yesterday's evaporation and today's rain. There's no shaychus. Even in theory, we know that, but
that's all brilliant
colors. Right, it's a new thing. Even though we all know that this is the same water that other rishon drank from also, you know what I mean? It's been used 1,000 times, but thus it's new. But not in this kind of a case where there's an obvious connection between them. Then he says, but also because it's hot here, it's cold, but whatever, but here, because it's hot, and because it's direct connection, so we say it's also. Okay. So now we're not going to answer our third question yet. Okay, we'll hold that because we have to stop for a second and say. So now we just said the inim of tipas chol tell us that there's time transits through the wall of the kli, and even though there's these vapors in between, we don't have to worry about that. And time transits, wonderful. So again, from we saw the dim, everything is fine. The problem is that in short, I'm going to tell you a little longer, but in short. No one ever sees time transfer. Okay? So we have a din that tells us that people solve that time transfers through the kli, but in practice, nobody ever sees it. Okay? The people who make equipment, the people who work with these kind of things, like the scientific type people will tell you, the you know, manufacturing people think, unless there's a leak, they'll say there's nothing going to be time. Not going to be any time there. Okay, that's fine. But also, we had mashkichim, we'll find out later, mashkichim who have to taste this water, the water on the other side of the thing, and they don't taste anything, okay? Let me say it like this. Okay, Rosh Chachdus said like this. He says, we never heard okay, no one ever tasted meat in their apples, or tamshel dog b'chol, or the fish taste in their milk. I mean, the same equipment was used, the same steam system used to cook many different things, no one ever tasted them. He said, "Pshutai banan tzadei ein kanasinas tam eizasi v'shi." He says, "We could sit and theorize. What's the reason? Maybe it's because it's stainless steel. Maybe because there's no it's cast iron. Maybe because it's no microscopic holes like they used to have. Maybe because they filter the steam. There could be 100. We could come up with all kinds of theories." He says, "But in Lamaisa, no one ever sees that. No one ever sees. No one ever tastes anything like that." Okay. I'll tell you, I'm going to come to it in a second. Ravelsky said, he says, did anybody ever open up a can of corn and tasted carrots inside of it? You know, did Tom ever chase it? We don't see any Tom. He says, so what do we do with that? He says, the truth is, this kind of a shaila, there's a truth for Rama about this, okay? Not, of course, not about a steam system, but it was Rama about this. And the case of the Rama was that they...
Indeed, it's Machlokes Rishonim, right? Aren't some Rishonim say that Tam does not go through?
Yes, yes, yes. But the Shulchan Aruch says we should be Machlokes that Tam does go through. But we're assuming that Tam goes through. But, sir, So we're not trying to say time doesn't go through, but in our situation, we're never seeing these kind of steam systems that happen like that. Okay, so the case of the Rama was...
Is that sheet of Brun and Shulchan Aruch?
No. No, it's not important to Torah. Yeah, Torah basically, of course, there's a lot of... Yeah, many sheets about that. Yes. The Rama's case was they had barrels that had in it olive oil, okay? And the rumor was that the wine barrel, that these barrels were smeared with pig fat, okay? And different people didn't want to eat from it. And this, if you look in Svarim, every couple hundred years, the same shadow comes up again, that the olive oil barrels are smeared with pig fat.
The barrels
that they put the olive oil into, that they transfer from here to there, were smeared with pig fat for whatever reason. And the Rambam says like this. He says, the goyim who taste it, where people are being apprehensive to eat it, but the goyim taste it, they don't taste anything. And he says, we've all tasted olive oil. He says, we don't see any time, there's nothing to do. Now, the Rama, then, I didn't put all these words onto the screen, but the Rama puts into a, makes it more halachic. He says, maybe the amount of time there is, although maybe it's a time of calm. He starts imagining reasons, halachic reasons why there should be no time. But that's the second half of what he has to say. The what's driving him is that we tried it a million times. No one ever tasted the other food in it, so obviously it's not there. So now we could start, looking through, turning the pages in your day to find that an excuse, so to speak, for it. But what's driving him is that no one sees it. So we're just... Along the lines of Rosh Hashanah saying is that, listen, I didn't put you the words of Rosh Hashanah either. He started giving all these theories about what might happen, why it might not be Tom. He says, but Lamaisa, no one ever sees the Tom. Okay? So what do we do with that? What do we do when we have, here the Din tells us that Tom goes through, and we have these Lamaisa, we're not seeing any Tom. So it turns out that not this Rambam is telling us one side, but really there's precedent the other direction, actually from the Rambam also. And that is like this. There was a question about whether there's blia into glass. Okay, so most Rishonim looked at it and they said, Lamaisa is everyone knows that glass has no blia. So when you cook food in a glass and use a glass for hot for one thing, you don't taste it in the next food. So they said it's smooth and it's hard. However, the words that they used, and they said there's no blias into glass. That's it. There are no blias in glass. You could use glass for kosher and treif, and milk and fish. It makes a difference. You could do whatever you want to there. And some Rishonim say, and that's what the Rama says, is that no, it has to be machmir. It has some connections to cheres. The way it's made is similar to cheres. So therefore, we're machmir. That's what there's time into it. Mean to say is, when mice says no one tastes anything, no one ever uses it. We all know in labs they use glass because it doesn't have any blias, so to speak, into it. No carryover. And people all know that. And the Rishonim saw that. It wasn't we, not us who was seeing it. The Rishonim who saw that. But even so, we were like more cautious and said, who knows, maybe there are blias, and actually gave it a strict thing because it has a similarity to Cheres. And similar to that is, what I told you before for Rabelsky was actually a shiloh that he asked her Moshe. Okay? Rabelsky, one day when I was working at OU, walk into my office, and there sitting on my desk is this handwritten shiloh, five shilohs handwritten, and it was obviously Rabelsky's handwriting, written to Ramosha. I to this day, still don't know who left that for me, so I just left it on my desk. Five shilohs that Rabelsky wrote to Ramosha. Some of them, if you look at Igor's Moshe, you see the chuvas of them. It doesn't say it's Rabelsky, but five of them, you could see that it's obviously answering this question. But this one that I'm going to tell you is not answered in Igor's Moshe. And Rabelsky said, Rabelsky, among the things he wrote, he says he was a chush meyed. He said, "Shemir olam layotze shum tam mekan chosim kin." In quotation marks, mekan chosim. I feel like they mayim koshkin and they say. He says, "It never happened that people opened up a can of one food and they tasted another food in it." He says, as Rabowski said, so let's go ahead and let's have. He said, and if you want to make it more official, we can have an official tastings. Have goyim taste lots of food and have even yidden taste food that we know are kosher. In the same factory, they made peas and carrots, so taste the peas and see if they taste like carrots, or carrots taste like peas. We can do our own tests and see it a million times, and it should be mutter. So I went to Rabowski and said, Rabowski, good Shiloh. I said, so what's the answer? What we answer to some of the other ones again. In Igor's Moshe, you could find the answer to some of his Shilohs. So he said, no, Ramosha didn't write a tshuva for this one. But Ramosha told him basically was that just because we have all kinds of proofs, we can't just throw out this whole din. Okay? We can't just, there's a din shulchan aruch tipas chol, the din that we're doing here, and we can't just throw it out just because it doesn't look right to us, it doesn't seem right. Okay, so these two examples, the glass and this thing that that Rybelski is from Russia, sort of, to me, are telling us that when we have a very specific case, like the barrels of oil that have Chazer in it, when you have a very specific case, it's one thing to say we have so much experience, we know that there's no time on this thing. Okay? But when we want to take it and just make a general rule, we're going to fill out the whole, glass is never going to be Belayer, or say a steam system is no tibas chalav in the steam system, that was too broad, and somehow we're too scared or too not confident to just throw it out and say, we didn't taste anything, so therefore there's no time on it. Okay? So there's this like tension, and we're leaning in the direction of saying is that, you know what, we don't see any time, we have no reason to think there is, but even so, we're not throwing the dinner.
Parshas, the way to understand this is that before, in the Shulchan Aruch, if you didn't do the Shulchan Aruch, you could always do Tehima.
Yes.
Right? At the time you have to do Tehima, the end result would be that this thing's remote. Because you can actually get somebody, be tired, be no time, and what? If you did it 500 times, and there was never any time, it would be chazaka, and then finish, it would become mutter. Once we get the show, the Ramah said the Aminik is we don't do Tehima. So this is all rolled into the Aminik.
That's part of it. You see, part of not doing Tehima, we don't do Tehima even if it's for one piece of chicken, I can't do Tehima to see if it tastes like milk. So Kolshkin, I can't do Tehima to throw out, to make a whole rule out of
Kolshkin.
It's a similar idea.
It remains awesome to Aminik. That's heard the way.
Part of not doing Tehima is this kind of awesome.
Right.
Okay, maybe. Okay, I guess you could say.
You say, well, Maisa, this was mutter? These barrels
were
mutter?
Yeah, so.
So, I don't know. I don't understand. Maybe it came to be mutter to that.
Right.
That okay. Came, you
know. Well, maybe the opposite is, right, because everybody was eating the oil. You're saying it's a mimic to not be something to eat. Everyone was eating the oil, and people were complaining and said, what's going on here? We hear these rumors that there's chazer in them, you know? So I'm not sure. Okay. Now, what Maisa
is. Is there any application on Aloha today? Today's day and age?
Of this thing with. Yeah. Oh, because you know the shakam all the time about olive oil. That people say that olive oil is diluted and faked and all kinds of shapes, things like that. That's an extension of the same Ramos Shaila. So the Lamaisa, all reputable hashkafas, take that position that time transfers through in the steam system. We have to worry about bleas going through into the steam, into the condensate, and then back into the kashrut afterwards. But Lamaisa, knowing all that I've told you until now, that Lamaisa, no one sees any time and all kinds of things like that, so they, and no one, like you said, Justin, that's a machlokes rishonim in the first place to start with, so they take certain coolness, okay? Like, for example, the other time we spoke about Hanan, then I'm not on a Hanan for steam systems, okay? Not makhlokes on a Hanan for steam systems, that's what we're talking about Hanan. Okay, then I'm not, they say, come on, Hanan itself is only a chomer, it's a chomer anyhow, so to be machmer on that for this kind of a case, but this is also machot Hashem, and it's l'chomer, we don't see it, so they're not machmer for Hanan. Okay, in group ones, they ignore the fact that the steam might have been traced. Being deciding whether something's group one, they don't say, oh, well, maybe this, you know, it's made with steam, and maybe the steam was the company's using it. There's extra stuff, because we don't even know what the company was doing. Okay, they don't ignore it also. But the most famous, or a famous way of being makel is Rogowski's 10% rule. Okay, and that is like this. That is like this. He says like this. The din is,
and of course, there's something to do with steam systems. Even if it's water, it'd be the same thing. Right?
The 10% rule.
Yeah.
Yes, whatever. But it gets to steam systems. That's it, mostly gets to steam.
Well, everything you're saying is doesn't it steam?
No, I said at the very beginning. Maybe I said too quickly. I'm talking tape as steam because that's the most part of this question. But for water, it's the same kind of shadow.
Like in a HDS depasteurizer.
Correct. Yes. Correct. You can see in the seconds, right? He's in the okay. So and that's like this. Rabowski like this. He said, we're saying that time transfers through to the other side. Okay, we're assuming that time is transferring onto the other side of the, through the walls into the steam system, or as we're going to talk about in a second, into the water. That means is that the time that's going through is not Balta Bashishim. Balta Bashishim is 1.6%. Okay, if it's more than 1.6%, we don't taste it, somehow we're saying that it's there anyhow, even though we don't taste it. So it's more than 1.6%. How much time is it? They didn't tell us how much it is. We don't know how much the time is. It's something more than 1.6%, but how much is, we don't know. So now, there's another din, which is that Stam Yayin is Bata B'Shisha. It's just six times. That's 16.6%. If it's B'Shisha, then it's not because it doesn't have time. No, it's not because it doesn't have. It's still Taka tastes like wine, But it doesn't have what we call the tzura wine. It doesn't have the body and the shape and the look of a cup of wine. It's watered down. It's just flavored water rather than watered down wine. Okay. So he says we don't have anything that tells us, we have to assume that the bria that goes through is that much. He says, and if it was that much, if it was so much that it would have the tzura of wine, he says it would be impossible to miss it. We could think that we're missing time of time. The time is 1.6%. Now somehow our palate is not delicate enough to notice it. Really there's time, but we're missing it. He says, but to think that it would be so strong that it would be noticeable and it would be like look like wine, it would seem like a cup of wine, he says we don't have to think that we would miss that. There's no reason to think that we would be missing something so strong then. He says, so he tells us, so now we have our goalposts over here, you know, time is more than 1.6%, but the time is not more than 16.6%. Okay, it's somewhere between those two numbers. So he decided that it leaned more close to the 1.6%. So he says it's only 10% goes through. Okay, the time is only 10%. Okay, that this is 10% rule, and you'll see in a second why that's very significant. Okay, why we care if it's 10%? 10% is also true. So that's a jump that he made. He said it's not 16%. That's one step. And the second step is, and therefore, it's not 10%. It's less than 10%. Okay? So he said like this. So in a case like you see on the screen now, what happens if we have not steam heating up the kettle itself, but steam heats hot water, and then the hot water heats up the kettle. Again, steam heats hot water in the heat exchanger, and then that heats up the kettle, like would be normal, like for cooking, pasteurizing milk or something like that. So again, there's a buffer now. So the steam, there's an in-between, something in between the steam and the hot water. So Ruskin said like this. He said, so now the condensate coming back from the trade kettle is only 10% not kosher. Because I just told you, it's only 10% not kosher. So that water that's coming back from the non-kosher kettle is only 10% not kosher, which would be, in theory, bata b'shisha. He says, and now when the time transfers from that water into the water in the heat exchanger that's going to go back to the boiler, now it's only 10% of that. It's only 10% of the original 10%, so now it's only 1%, and now it's bata b'shishim. Okay, so that's really convenient, because now it's bata b'shishim. And from there, he came up with this rule that if there's a buffer in between the trace kettle and the boiler, I mean, not just that the condensate goes right back, but it goes and heats something else that goes back to the boiler, then we don't have to worry about it, and the time is bumped. Okay. Now, so the simplest case is this case of a buffer, and there are other cases of it, which would be is, what happens there are things that don't need bit the b'shishim, like bishalakam is about the b'roiv. So in bishalakam, you worry about the same system altogether. What happens if it's stam yayin? It's about the b'shisha. You don't have to worry about the same system altogether, because any bleed that's going into the water is going to be both, either about the b'roiv or about the b'shisha for sure, because it's only 10% across. And therefore, it's all those cases, we're not going to have to worry about the content. So now, when Ezra Schwartz about this 9 years ago, and he said, he said, the time that goes through is a tam kolosh. Okay, instead of calling it 10%, he says it's a tam kolosh. So to think that the tam kolosh passes to the next thing, that we don't have to worry about. Okay, that was his way of looking at it. Or things that are easy to be bottled, he says a tam kolosh, don't have to worry about it. And tam kolosh is really reflective of what we're saying, which is, we don't taste anything. So we're being accepting of the din and saying, okay, there's tam. But it's obviously not a strong tam, so he called that tam kolosh. Reese was in between. He said, you know what, I'll buy the first step of Rebelsky, but not the second step. I'll buy the first step, which is it's not 16%, but I'm not. But then the 10% is just a conjecture, just to go from, you know, to say 16 bit b'shisha, we see where he got that from. But to then say it's 10% was just a conjecture, he wasn't willing to buy that, so he would say for stanyan he'd be nakel, but not be nakel for this having a loop in between. That wasn't good enough for him. Okay, Rav Schachter said, you know, I don't know about this 10%. He said, this is all very, like, you know, theoretical. And he's, you know, making all kinds of ideas. Rav Schachter said, but, you know, he said, we have to say something. He says, you know, we all know that there's no time going through that. So if anybody has a good excuse for why we should not be chashish, I'm willing to go for it. So if you want to tell me, have a loop in between, fine, call what you want to. He says, because...
the world, the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because this is all coming from the fact that no one sees any time. That's what's really going on here. We have a din in Shulchan Aruch telling us, yes, there's time. And we all stand there and say, Tom, whoever sees any time over here? That's the problem we have with it. Okay? So, Okay, so that's where we stand here. So now before I finish for today, I'm going to get to my third question. And the third question was, is there anything we could do about this what I call contamination, about these bleas transfer? Okay? So it turns out that there are 7 things you could do about this to avoid the problem. Okay?
Seriously, except none of them.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm saying that. You know, that's my question.
No, the 7. You're not going to say all 7. No. You don't have enough confidence in me. Okay, the 7. The first is, you could be a case where there's no condensate return. Okay, so. Okay, I have to get 7 reasons. Okay?
No, there's no steam system.
No. I didn't think of that one. Okay. It could be, in other words, it could be naturally, or you could force them to say, don't return the condensate. We have a place, one company we give our shochel to, in the same campus, they have one boiler that cooks meat and that cooks eggs. Okay, so the condensate from the meat factory is not returned. Okay, we block it off and the mashgiach keeps an eye on it to make sure that that condensate never comes back. Okay, so the steam is only cooking eggs, it's cooking both, but there's no condensate coming back. Okay, that's one way.
We don't consider the connection via the steam.
Right, that's correct. That's a different question. Different question, not for today. Right, we don't consider connection. For today, I'll tell you, it's because it's invisible what's in between. But there's better reasons. Okay. The second thing is, we could flush the condensate, which is to say is, we know that we're going to be making kosher food in this place in a few days from now. Right now, it's treif. We want to, the condensate is going to return. So in a few days from now, we're going to make kosher. So we are going to flush all the condensate out of the system. So it's hard to drain a boiler. We talked about this once. It's hard. I'm sorry, no, we didn't talk about it. I'm going to talk about it one time coming. Excuse me. It's hard to drain a boiler and get rid of all the treif water in one shot. Just boiler-wise, it doesn't work well. But you could flush it, which is to say, for a certain amount of days beforehand, you don't let any steam, any condensate go back to the boiler. In effect, if all this condensate just drains, goes onto the floor, then new water has to come in, and eventually you flush out all the treif water. Okay?
And this is without chayefsi.
Without chanan.
Without,
yes, that's one of the reasons why we don't say chanan. But one day, it's coming. We're going to talk about boilers. And then I'll explain to you how that works. And I'm not giving you the cheshbon today, but it's usually a couple of days. Okay? Yes. No chanan. Okay. Another way we could do it is what I just told you, which is you could use the buffer. Okay? If you hold this 10% rule and you could do a buffer, and there's a water loop in between the steam system and the kettle, that's another way you can avoid the problem. You can avoid the problem of the steam becoming treif. The water would still be treif, but the water loop is for that one kettle. You have the treif kettle with its water loop, so that water loop is treif. The other parts of the factory are good. They're still okay.
So I just would agree with, if you have a couple, if you have another level, then
right, if you have a third loop, yes, if you have a third stage. But that's not common. That's pretty common. Water loop is reasonably happen.
Common, but very common. Very common. And dairy with a pasteurizer, you got to go 4 or 5 walls till you get to the treif going back and then back into the kosher. It's,
okay. So I didn't talk about that part. Put that on the side. I did not talk about that. That's really, okay, I'll tell you that afterwards. Okay. Number 4, I connected to the 10% rule is that by specific Yisroel, like by Stam Yayin or Bishalakim, where the whole Yisroel is only, is bought the Baroiv or bought the Bishisha, then even with one transfer, I told you, you don't have to worry about the Chomach of Pesach according to some. Okay, that's another one. Okay, another example. Some heat exchangers, some companies have double-walled heat exchangers, which is to say is, they're so afraid of leaks, of food leaking from, something leaking from the water into the steam, from the product between them, that they have a double wall. That every plate is a double plate, so in case there would be a leak in one of the plates, it wouldn't transfer it to the other side. It would fall into this empty space in between. So if that happens, if you have a double heat exchanger, it's not very common. But if you have that, then it's just kettle touching each other. Then there's no blea between the two. Then let's say between the food and the steam.
It's empty space.
Yeah, there are two plates touching each other.
Heat transfer.
In other words, the plates, the food is here and the steam is here, and there's two plates between them. So it's not as efficient.
So the heat is transferring just by touching?
Just by touching, right. But there's an empty space, which is in case it would be a leak, the liquid would fall down in the middle, it wouldn't hit to the other side. It wouldn't get across the other one. Okay? It's not so common. No, it's not very common at all. But there are people who are like that. There's such a thing. Okay? And to them, there's no blue because it's just kaolin touching each other. Okay? And similar to that is, in some jackets, instead of the steam being in the jacket, there are steam coils in the jacket. So the jacket is really, instead of being filled with steam, there are coils actually running through the jacket, and the steam is in those coils. So again, it just keeps touching each other. The outside of that coil is touching the other side of the wall, so there's no bleed between them. And the very last one is pigima. Okay, there's ways, potentially, to make the steam be pogum. Say the steam has a tam in it that's not good, and that prevents bleeds from transferring. Bleed can't transfer this pigima. And that is not for today. That will be our mitzvah next time. We'll talk about exactly if and how you can do pigima, which is a common people try to do. How do I, none of these six eights has worked for me. I need to do something to allow them to use kosher and trade from the same place, in the same steep system, and they want to be pregnant. That will be a mitzvah for next time.